Wine About Wine with Dr. Serge, the wine guy, and me, Earl Ray Neal. Yep, believe it or not, they let somebody named Earl Ray actually have a podcast. But tune in with us on each episode as we describe the Scrow family's journey from the old country in Italy to becoming one of the United States' most unique wine distributors. Hear the story of Divino Wine Wholesalers as it can only be told by Dr. Serge, the wine guy. And welcome to the second episode of Wine About Wine. My name is Earl Ray Neal, and along with Dr. Sergio Scrove, the wine guy, we are going to look this evening at the wines of Divino Wine Wholesalers. Good evening, Sergio. How are you?
I am well. Yourself?
Oh, doing the very best. So last episode, which we want to encourage everybody to check out, we also want you to feel free to leave your comments in the comments section. We are now happily on several different podcast platforms, including Spotify. So we're really excited about that. But in the last episode, we talked about sort of your family's history and how you all became involved in the wine distribution industry. So what we want to focus on tonight are the wines that are offered by Divino Wine Wholesalers as sort of as a whole across the board. Talk a little bit about the regions of the world that they come from. So Serge, can you kind of pick up there and tell me and the other listeners is there any particular region of the world that Divino focuses on, and if so, why?
Well, yes, of course. We started out for up until about 2 years ago only distributing my family's imported wines, and those are all from Italy, of course, because my parents are Italian immigrants. And those wines are from all over Italy. We have the Veneto near Venice region. We have Piemonte, the northern region near the Alps. Up in the Alps, northern regions. We have Tuscany. We have the island of Sardinia, Sicily, a couple things from Puglia, which is in the heel, and of course, Calabria. So we're kind of spread across the Italian continent with a splash of pretty much everything.
Is there anything in particular about the wines that you find in those individual regions, any special characteristics that make them sought after in the wine world?
Yes, they're wines to be drunk every day. You're going to find that a lot of times you'll hear people talk about a wine that has to be paired with this and has to be paired with that. But these are families, farmers, their generations passed on traditions of how to make wine and the commitment to the work that it takes, the hard work. And so they're making these wines to drink every day. And stylistically, that's a beautiful thing because you don't have to be scared of it.
I think a lot of people are afraid of wine. You know, you go into a restaurant, you sit down, and they ask you if you want a wine list, and you know, some people are afraid to take the list because they don't necessarily know what they're looking for. So would it be fair to say that one of the things that makes Divino wines special would be the story sort of behind the wine?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely the story, because we believe that that every wine, or excuse me, every bottle has a story, and every story makes a memory. And it's so true for these winemakers that they see all of their family at each of these bottles, and who knows what happened in the field. They're laughing, they're eating. So every bottle has this story, and there's so much memory behind it, but it also, it transcends just the field. Most good, great times are happening with somebody having a bottle of wine, a glass of wine with some friends, laughing and enjoying it.
Oh, so there's a story behind what went into the bottle, and then there's a lots of stories that result from when you open those bottles up, I bet.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to do an episode where we have folks call in and tell their stories about what happened when they opened up their bottles of wine. Do you or members of your families have personal relationships with the folks that produce these wines?
Yes, and that is what really sets us apart, because we know about each family, especially as it come from Italy. We know them. If we go there, we stay with them. If they come here, they stay with us.
You mean you actually have the folks that produce these wines in your homes?
Oh yeah. They come. Fun to watch them come out, and we introduce them to s'mores and fire pits
I probably get in trouble for asking this, but do you take them on the bourbon tours? Do you expose them to bourbon?
I have, and they all love them, because they understand wine and everyone knows about bourbon, but then they go to these distilleries and they're just wowed. Didn't have no idea that's just what went into it.
So has Divino had an opportunity to send representatives to the different regions and actually tour, be on site with, you know, these wineries and wine production areas? So
yes.
What are some of the wines that you've actually visited in the process of being made?
We have, well, pretty much all of them from Italy. I've been to near Venice for with a producer called Italo Chascon. I've been to Piemonte with Veglio wines, one of our most popular wine. In fact, it is our most popular wine. It's called Sangue di Giuda, Blood of Judas. Great little story behind that we'll be talking about, I believe, in an upcoming episode. That's up in near Milan. And then we go to the south. Been to Sicily, where Donino makes the wine, Antonio, a beautiful human being. Been to Puglia, they make those wines too. So a little of everything, and it's just so beautiful to see how these people work to share it.
So if I were to start up Earl Ray's Wine Distribution Center, what would set Divino apart from the wines that I could say go out and obtain and produce?
There, and I always say this, but it's just so true. There's so much wine. If one looks at commercial wines, you'd be surprised or appalled at how much of it is reconstituted, so to speak. It's so much additives in there, so much of this, and it's made for money, but not these people in Italy, not the wines that we represent from even other parts of the world. These are family producers. You can assure they're not putting any kind of weird pesticides. They're not adding additives in there to make the color good, not adding things to make it stable, to last a long time. The sulfites are minimized. In fact, some of our wines have minimal sulfites in them. And so it's those kinds of little things that add up. I'm always tickled at watching social media posts where somebody will go in coming out of yoga and has a picture of a wild-caught Alaskan salmon and non-GMO vegetables, and they come out with a commercial wine with all the additives.
So it sounds like you deal with wineries that are so limited and so special in their niche in the market that it's almost, I think it would be fair to say that that probably the big wineries probably spill more in production than some of these wines wineries actually make. Would that, is that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's that would be very true.
Well, you know, I'm flipping through your catalog and you know, one of the things that just immediately catches my eye, you know, when you were talking about the stories behind the wine, you all have a line of wines, I think, called Flying Solo. And,
yes.
You know, it has a postage stamp. It has a, on the label, it has an airplane. Now, I'm not going to tell the folks listening what the story is because we want them to listen when we focus on Flying Solo, for example. But,
sure.
But you know, that has a really interesting story behind it. It has a celebration of that story, you know, actually on the bottle, on the label. And as I flip through your catalog, and it looks to me like there's, you know, around 150 wines available now or so. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like there's, you know, there's one that has a stick on it, for example. Well, you know, I want you to tell me what the stick means. I want to know what the story behind the stick wine is. And that's just for our listeners, that's going to be what we do over the next several hundred episodes. We're going to pick a wine, we're going to talk about what kind of classification it is, the variety, we'll tell you what type of soil the grapes are grown in, how they're harvested, what the wine process is. I think there's a discussion to be had about the aging process, how long it's actually refined in the bottle. And then, you know, we want to know certainly what the alcohol level is. We want to know about the characteristics of the wines and those types of things. And I think eventually, I'm not sure at this point when we'll roll this out, but I think eventually we'll probably get into a wine club, something of that nature, where, you know, we can make those wines that we discussed that particular week available to the listeners.
We hope so.
All right.
Lots of different families to talk about and lots of stories.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to wine about wine with you tonight. And moving forward, we're going to start telling the stories of the wines that are offered by Divino Wine Wholesalers. So the next episode, be watching for that. It's going to be entitled The Blood of Judas. So if you want to give us just a little bit of tease about what you like about that wine, I even think that we are trying to work out a way to span the ocean, use a little bit of technology, and actually get the winemaker on the next episode. Is that right?
I think we are, and I can tell you about the wine. I can tell you that if I had the ability to put that in a keg, I could sell it by kegs every day. It is so good, but the story's great. But I think that you'll enjoy hearing a little bit about the history of the winery itself on that wine, and I'm looking forward to it. The blood, who calls something the blood of Judas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do
that's
you come
right.
up with a name? An official government Italian wine name is called the blood of Judas. And why?
Well, I personally can't wait to hear about it. I'm sure the listeners can't wait to hear about it. On the next episode of Wine About Wine, we are going to focus on the blood of Judas. So, on behalf of Dr. Sergio Scro, the wine guy, this is Earl Ray signing off. You guys have a great night. And if you want to whine about wine, make sure you leave the comments in the comments section below. Thanks a bunch and have a great day.